morning, Council. I'll just start by calling the third matter on our calendar today, September 12, 2019, so at 10:40 a.m., and we are close to that, but not exactly on time. The file number is A190506. It's Heidi Ann Kingsley, petitioner appellant, versus Isaiah Thomas Kingsley, respondent. We have just one counsel here today, and counsel for appellant. You're probably familiar with our procedures. Take whatever time you need to come forward and get comfortable at the podium. Keep an eye on the clock. You know, we're obviously at your disposal for the 15 minutes, and we look forward to the conversation. So proceed when you're ready.
May it please the court, Ashley Kuhn on behalf of Heidi Kingsley, the appellant. There are multiple issues before the court this morning, specifically whether the district court abused its discretion by hearing the respondent's motion to appoint a parenting time expediter without the appropriate supporting documents being filed, whether the court abused its discretion by appointing a parenting time expediter in light of affordability concerns, whether it abused its discretion in appointing the parenting time expediter when there was probable cause that one or more of the children of the parties had been physically abused or threatened with physical abuse by the respondent, and fourth, whether the district court abused its discretion in authorizing the parenting time expediter to make decisions that were inconsistent with the existing parenting time order without an agreement of the parties. Briefly going through the facts of this case, the parties have three children, now ages 8, 9, and 13. The parties were divorced in September of 2015. That divorce decree gave the parties joint legal custody and awarded sole physical custody to the appellant. It set forth a parenting time schedule that was specific in nature. After the parties' divorce decree was entered, the respondent was convicted through an Alford plea of domestic assault against the parties' minor children. The incident involved a BB gun with the kids.
And was evidence of that charge and that disposition of the charge admitted in this proceeding that resulted in the challenged order?
I believe it was addressed in the transcript before the district court. The same judge was the judge that proceeded with the sentencing, so there was admittedly not as much detail as I would have liked to have in there.
But the complaint, and including the probable cause statement and the complaint, the criminal complaint, was not part of this record.
It was not submitted to the district court, correct. The parenting time was supervised based upon that conviction in that criminal file. The appellant's counsel at the district court level discussed the children's distrust of the respondent, that they don't feel safe with him, and submitted letters from the children's therapist indicating that the children were fearful of the respondent. One of the children had a borderline diagnosis that they were going to have to watch for based upon that incident. The therapists all recommended that any parenting time with the respondent would be supervised only, and for the oldest child, her therapist recommended that any contact at all would be supervised with the respondent.
Let me see if I just want to make sure I understand, you know, what happened at this hearing.
Sure.
So the respondent moved for an appointment of an expedited parent expediter.
Yes.
Pro se, you know, didn't include any affidavits, but your client, as I read it, didn't object to the proceeding, filed some therapist records, but that was it, but did show up.
She showed up. She did object to the appointment of a parenting time expediter.
Which is different, though, from that there wasn't grounds to hear the motion, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Is that fair to say?
I still think the respondent should have filed the supporting affidavit so that there could have been a more fully fledged argument about what the issues were. I believe the General Rule of Practice 303.03 indicates that the court has various options that it can either cancel the hearing or not allow argument
but
on some of those issues.
That gives the district court discretion, right?
It does.
About May.
It does.
I'm just trying to figure out which issues are really before us.
Yes.
Or decide. And some of them clearly are.
The biggest issues are the latter three that I mentioned, the appointment of the parenting time expediter with the affordability concerns, the domestic assault conviction, and authorizing the parenting time expediter to go beyond the parenting time order that's currently in place. As the court has already alluded to, the review or standard of review at this matter is the abuse of discretion. The Nolte case cited in my brief specifically puts that standard in use when there is the question about whether or not a parenting time expediter should have been appointed. So turning to the first really big issue, whether the district court abused its discretion with appointing the parenting time expediter in light of the domestic violence concerns. Minnesota Statute 518.1751, Subdivision 1, Parent A, Parent 2, indicates that a party may not be required to use a parenting time expediter if the court determines that there's probable cause that a child of the parties has been physically abused or threatened with physical abuse by the other party. However, the court may still use a parenting time expediter if the court is satisfied that the parties are represented by counsel, that they agree to the use of the parenting time expediter, and there would not be face-to-face interactions with the parties through the expediter process.
So, and the district court didn't make any findings about this.
There were not.
Which relates to kind of my concern, was this explicitly raised as an objection? I mean, I know that your client raises issues as talking about why the kids didn't want any contact
Correct.
With their dad in that context, but that's different than saying, you know, this matter statute, you can't appoint a parenting time expediter, right?
I believe counsel had explained it as the additional complications that the criminal conviction puts into place in light of there had been supervised parenting time for an extended period of time ahead of this particular hearing. I believe respondent was wanting a significant change in what that parenting time was going to be. So there were certainly questions about getting the therapist's opinion, whether the expediter could really address these matters given the particular domestic assault conviction in place. As mentioned, respondent entered into an Alford plea that resulted in that domestic assault conviction, again, which involved the children as the victims and involved a BB gun.
But an Alford plea, by its definition, says, I'm not admitting anything, and there have been no findings. And
that he's not admitting, yeah. But he would agree that he could be convicted.
Right, if the evidence was presented at trial.
Correct. And respondent continues to deny that he did any of the actions that the children have alleged, despite the fact that they were interviewed by forensic investigators who felt they were credible enough to bring the charges. However, I think that conviction and him entering into that Alford plea gives us more than the probable cause needed under the statute to require that the parties would need to agree to the parenting time expediter for the expediter to be appointed. And that's where I think the district court erred and abused his discretion when he appointed the expediter anyway, despite the domestic violence conviction and appellant's objection.
And so even if the precise argument was not advanced at that hearing, even if your client didn't say, one of the reasons I'm objecting to appointment of a parenting time expediter is this particular statute, are you suggesting that even if it wasn't raised, the district court should have sua sponte recognized that having an expediter given this procedural history of the Alford plea would be problematic?
I guess my argument is that the attorney at the district court level indicated that the domestic violence conviction was an issue and a reason not to appoint an expediter. I don't know that he went as specifically to say this line in the statute, but I think he does argue the conviction is a problem and a reason not to appoint. Further, we believe the district court abused its discretion in ordering a parenting time expediter to make decisions inconsistent with the parenting time order in existence at the time of the appointment, specifically Minnesota Statute 518.1751, Subdivision 3C, reads that unless the parties mutually agree, the parenting time expediter shall not make decisions that are inconsistent with that prior parenting time order. The court's findings in this case specifically indicated that the parties expressly authorized the parenting time expediter to make those decisions that were inconsistent. the problem again being appellant did not agree to the appointment of the expediter, let alone to allow the expediter to go beyond the authority that was established by the prior parenting time order. Given the clear language of the statute and the fact that appellant did not agree to the appointment of the expediter or to allow him to go beyond the parenting time order, we believe that the court abused its discretion in that regard. Turning to the last main issue, we feel that the district court abused its discretion by appointing the parenting time expediter in light of the affordability concerns that were raised at that hearing. Minnesota statute...
Here again, when I look at this, the way I read this, so tell me where I'm wrong or point me to something specific. Your client was expressing concern over this but didn't object. And the district court here did say that the respondent had to pay any of the fees of the parenting time expediter.
Correct. The respondent has to pay it. I think appellant's counsel at that level did kind of a blanket objection, did not specifically say this line in the statute again, but did indicate there are these affordability concerns. They can't afford to keep coming to court. Ideally, a parenting time expediter would hopefully allow them to address some of that. But I think there's still the affordability issue of if either party couldn't, if they were both ordered to pay, and specifically with respondent ordered to pay, if he cannot pay, then the parties are going to end up in court anyway. And I think it was partially tied into the argument of the trial attorney did not know if the expediter could address all of the issues that were specifically asking to be addressed. Specifically, if, and this is one disadvantage of not having an affidavit from the respondent, but not knowing how large of a shift he was asking for, we'd be walking up into those de facto custody modification issues that parenting time expediter can't address. We would ask, We would ask this court to find that the district court abused its discretion in appointing the parenting time expediter based upon the domestic violence conviction and the lack of agreement between the parties. Abused its discretion by ordering that the parenting time expediter could make decisions inconsistent with the current parenting time order. We ask the court to find that the district court abused its discretion in appointing the parenting time expediter in light of the affordability concerns as well. We respectfully...
I just want to make sure I understand.
Sure.
So with your scope of authority argument, so you're first saying abuse of discretion to appoint a parenting time expediter.
Correct.
But even if there was, the way I read what you're saying, even if there was, if the appointment itself was not an abuse of discretion, the scope of the authority is prohibited by the statute, and that we look at compliance with the statute on a de novo basis.
Correct.
Is that fair to say?
Correct. So two parts. One, the abuse of discretion in appointing in general, and then second, the issue with the ordering that the parenting time expediter could do things that are inconsistent with the prior court order. Correct. We would respectfully request that the court reverse the district court's order and discharge the parenting time expediter. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Thank you, counsel. So this matter is now submitted to the court for its decision, and we will issue a decision within the statutory time frame. Thanks.
Thank you.
So with that, we've concluded the first three matters on our calendar today. We still have three more, but we are going to take a short recess, I think noted until 11:30, although I'll just let the marshal know we'd be happy to be called in early if counsel appear. So, okay. Yeah. Thank you. We are in recess.
Minnesota Public Hearing is in recess.